Thank you. Conception in the terms of reality, which is divine in nature. It has no material tinge of temporality, because the thing based on reality must be exposed. It cannot be a make-believe thing. I think it is like that, or you think it is. No. Behind this, there must be a provable process. Provable process. So verification and everything must be supplied. The women folk are said to be in a dependent state because of their bodily configuration. And their attachment to the material world is by calculations of the great acharyas. They're said to be 8 times greater than men. This is based on psychological analysis. But for the functionality that they have been the complementary to the man in terms of begetting, it began from Manu and Shatrughna. मनु महाराज इस स्वयं भूम एंड शत्रु देर इज डायरेक्ट मेंटली कंसीव्ड प्रोजेनी ऑफ गुड ब्रह्म ब्रह्म ऑर्डर्ड देम टू बिकम प्रजापति सो देर फोर द मैन काइंड हैज बीन जनरेटेड फ्रॉम देम In the beginning of the creation, Brahma, because he received that potency from the Lord, so due to the dependence and the attachment thereof, we may think that they may be less intelligent. No, it's not. When Kunti is most intelligent and highly liberated person, how she is perceiving the absolute truth, reality. And she attributes all of this interpretations. They are not simply eulogies, but they are deep sentiments of realization. And what happened in the war of Mahabharata, Ashwatthama was the real villain. He killed 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi. He had them mercilessly. They were very young, tender boys, but they were the head. So just to please his master Duryodhana, he did some heinous act. Even Duryodhana did not like. So Draupadi was crying, and just to appease Draupadi, Arjuna promised her that he will not return till he brings the culprit back, and then whatever she commands, she will enable you. Because he is called Adatai, one who attacks innocent, harmless, or one without the weapon, he must be killed. An aggressor will be called. Terrorist. So, Ashwatthama was changed and brought before Draupadi. Krishna incited, you better kill him. But Draupadi, being very chaste, even though she was having 5 husbands, she is considered to be chaste. The chastity is on the basis of her spiritual status quo, not of material status quo. She is exhibiting her devotional nature by seeing this Ashwatthama was bound like an animal and was dragged by Arjuna, and he was thrown on the floor right before Draupadi. And Draupadi is said to be Vama Swabhava. Vama Swabhava means tender nature of a gentle lady. She says, oh, this is the son of our most worshipable Acharya. He is also worshipable. It is not nice to see him in this way. Please. And she respects, offers her obeisances to the killer of her sons. Bhima was angry, and he wanted to kill. Krishna was on the side of Bhima and inciting Arjuna, finishing. But Draupadi is interfering. Please spare him. I'm experiencing the loss of my sons. How unfortunate his mother would become. Kripacharya. Kripacharya's sister was very cruel to Acharya. So she exhibits her Vamasutra, excellent qualities. But yet, the culprit has to be punished. And she wants her to go free, to spare his life. So Arjuna has to become very decisive, very, very intelligently act. He showed such a composure, because he is also a devotee. He must simultaneously kill him as well as spare him. So, he was a Brahman, Aswatthama was a Brahman, but he did not deserve to be a Brahman. He's called Brahma Bandhu. His father was a Brahman, but he's called a relative of a Brahman. He himself is not a Brahman, because he is doing such heinous acts. So, he had that glorious gem tied up on his topmark, which gave him some benediction from his father of immortality. He is long, chiranjeev, not immortal. Everyone who is born is supposed to die. He may have a long life. So, he was one of them. So, incitation of Lord Krishna to take a quick action on him, Arjuna cut off the top knot on the head, removed the one. So he became inglorious official. He didn't have anything to show all his discredits. And then he was released. So for status quo, if one gets inglorious status, is as good as dead. Akirti maratati richate. Akirti means infant, is worse than death. So, in this way, Arjuna acted very cleverly and spared his life too. So he was released. But again, he knew that Parikshit was in the womb of Uttara. He was the great grandson of Arjuna, so he must be killed. So he shot a Brahmastra specifically targeted to kill Parikshit. It burned the embryo. But during that time, Uttara came and surrendered to Krishna and saved she prayed Krishna to save her embryo. So this was happening while Kunti was there. So Kunti is seeing the nature that Krishna has helped in all the times of tribulations. And he was there. So after saving Uttara's embryo, by nullifying the Brahmastra of Aswatthama, Lord Krishna stayed with Pandavas second and then he started for Dwarka. And Queen Kunti with her five sons, they came and pleaded. So these prayers are of utmost importance. They are very well sung. Queen Kunti is telling Kunti Vacha, Namaste Purusham Padyam Ishwaram Prakrute Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antarabahiravastitam. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. And the purport Srila Prabhupada says, Srimati Bhante Devi was quite aware that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Although he was playing the part of her nephew, such an enlightened lady could not commit a mistake by offering obeisances to her nephew. Therefore, she addressed him as the original Purusha beyond the material cosmos. Although all living entities are also transcendental, they are neither original nor infallible. The living entities are apt to fall down under the clutches of material nature, but the Lord is never like that. In the Vedas, therefore, he is described as the chief of all living entities, Nitya Nityanam, Chetana Chetananam. Then again, he is addressed as Ishvara or the controller. The living entities or the demigods like Chandra Surya are also, to some extent, Ishvara, but none of them is the Supreme Ishvara or the ultimate controller. He is Parameshwar, the Thought, the Super Soul. He is both within and without. Although he was present before Srimati Kunti as her nephew, he was also within her and in everyone else. In the Bhagavad Gita 15, chapter 15, the Lord says, I am situated in everyone's heart, and only due to me one remembers, forgets, and is cognizant, etc. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam prabhavate. That's it. Through all the Vedas, I am to be known because I am the compiler of the Vedas and I am the teacher of all the Vedas. Vedas sarvaihi taham devavetya vedanta vedivichata. Queen Kunti affirms that the Lord, although both within and without all living beings, is still invisible. The Lord is, so to speak, a person for common men. Queen Kunti experienced personally that Lord Krishna was present before her, yet he entered within the womb of Uttara to save her embryo from the attack of Asurkama's Brahmastra. Kunti herself was puzzled about whether Sri Krishna is all pervasive or localized. In fact, he is both. But he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. This checking curtain is called Maya, energy of the Supreme Lord, and is controlled through the limited vision of the rebellious soul. And it is explained further. In this verse, Prabhupada asserts on certain words that Kunti uses for her nephew as not a blood relative. She is addressing that he is the original Purusha, he is the controller, and he is invisible, even though he is pervasive all over, localized also. Adhyam Purusham Govindam Adi Purusham Brahma also speaks from the same time. So, what does that mean? He is the origin of all that we. In Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna says to Brahma that before the creation, it was only I who existed. Even after the creation is done, I am existing. And even after the end of the creation, the dissolution comes, I will keep on existing. But everyone else will come and go. They will appear for some time, sustain for some time. So, therefore, the conclusion should be that there is only one God. And then he is a person. His personality is a Dokshin. means one cannot be perceived through blunt senses. One cannot be perceived through blunt senses. And continues. So when he is appearing as her nephew, he is playing. It is playing her. And it is beautiful. And we misunderstand. So it is further explained by her that Maya Javanika Channa Adhyam Adhoksha Jap Avyayam Na Lakshase Mudhan Drashma Nato Nakhya Dharoyetha. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. If somebody changes and puts on some, not only dress, but makeup and everything, this personality is changing. But nonetheless, original personality remains hidden. So similar, the Supreme Lord appears from time to time in various ways, but expands himself in various ways. Yet, he himself, the original one, remains original and cannot be disintegrated. Cannot be disintegrated. So, Prabhupada said, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent person mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed here by Kirtan. The less intelligent person are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord Himself appears amongst us as Rama Narsingha Varaha or in His original form as Krishna, He performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. As we shall find in the 10th canto of His great literature, Lord Krishna exhibits His humanly impossible activities even from the days of His lying in the lap of His mother. He killed Putanavich, although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby and He sucked out her very life also. Similarly, He lifted Govardhan Hill just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. There are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in authority with its literature, like the Puranas, Itihasas, and Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher, and a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by authoritative personalities like Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramananda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and all other authorities in the line. He himself has declared as such in many places of the authentic literature, and yet there is a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Krishna even when He was present before them. Another difficulty in that, those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize Him as the supreme Lord. Such persons are like modern scientists. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge. But it is not possible to know the Supreme Person by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described here as adhokshacha, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and everything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of the sense perception. When Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially of the women class who are less intelligent, understood, for less intelligent men, there must be such things as temples, mosques and churches, or so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about Him from the authorities in such holy places. For less intelligent men, this beginning of the spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship. They are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. For a less intelligent person bowing down before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in the temple, mosque and churches, is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotee to meditate upon Him by active service. So, Krishna uses the word mudha. Avajananti mama mudha manushim tanum asritam parambhavam ajananta mama bhuta maheshwaram. Parambhavam ajananta. If one does not know the divine nature, the divinity is not exposed to him, then how is it possible to know Krishna? He is not an ordinary man. Neither he acted like an ordinary child. We understood that the super excellent activities which are impossible for ordinary people to be and to act, how is it possible for a 2-month-old child to suck poison smeared breast, to suck many life out of it? And because of Lord Krishna's touch, when Bhutana died, she really got exposed to her demoniac swarupa. And it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, it was about 7 miles long. It was looking like a mountain. And when she fell on the ground, the whole earth trembled. You know. So, all the Vrijavasis came out to see. And they were in fear that something happened and is Krishna safe? That is a completely different nature from the demoniac nature. You can understand that the devotees who are imbued with the love of God, they want to express their feeling for the Lord to be protected like an ordinary child. So, you can see different conceptions are strikingly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. But unless and until one whose eyes are anointed with the tinge of love cannot perceive the form of the Lord, even Srila Prabhupada said, the love between mother and her child, newborn child, is selfless. It comes pretty closer, but not exactly, pretty closer to the divine nature. We fail. Our intention never veers on the divinity that we should expose the child to
the divine will. Instead, we try to cover up in Maya. We try to elude attention, not knowing what the child wants sometimes. You know, mother fails to know why he is crying. So, the child psychology is difficult to pinpoint exactly where is the discomfort. But Bhagavatam puts up a very sensitive nature in comparison to the divine sensitivity. So, when Putana, his body was burning, it became so fragrant in his discourse because of touch of Lord Krishna. Now, how would you understand? Is it a mythology? Or is there some understanding or philosophical persuasion can be there for understanding the divine nature? The gunas are the qualities of the divinity. That is active. Life is divine. We may make it mechanistic, but life is divine. Because life comes from mind. Life is never developed by a material combination of chemicals. Neither it emerged by chance like a Big Bang theory. It is simply speculation. We have to give up all speculations and take the opportunity to surrender to Krishna and try to understand through those who are realized in divinity aspect. That will be pranipatena, pariprasthena, sevaya, upadekshanita, jnanam, jnanatatsadashya. Otherwise, this realm of divinity will never be exposed. It is not through an academic education that we will be able to understand divinity. No. It is by personal conviction that comes from personal inquiry with personal service attitude, and pariprasna means try to question. So, you will be getting an appropriate answer to be convinced. That is a matter of, because the premise is that the spiritual master has seen the truth, he will impart the truth. That is logic. One who does not know, how is he going to tell you? Oh, we are just doing some experiment. In future we will change. It's like that. You know, modern science is giving that kind of so-called a blank check with how to balance the big bank. You can't cash it. So never get, you know, interested. So, these are certain salient features that what is meant by adrukshacha, the Supreme Absolute Truth that we are supposed to be worshipping must be beyond our sense perception. But because we have our own inherent quality by the claim, Krishna says, mamai vāvto jīva lōke jīva. The soul is my part and parcel, and therefore there is an eligibility to others. Krishna never said that body is my part and parcel. He said, no, I'm not in this material nature. Even though it has been created by me, it is my inferior energy separated from me. But I dwell in my own internal potency, therefore I'm not exposed to anybody and everybody. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samam.
mama vartamano vartante manusha partha sarvasya. I'm not exposed to anybody and everybody. One who treads on my path, to the degree of their surrender, I would reveal. So, this is an important aspect because it is beyond our sense of perception. But senses are only in the body. The soul is sensitive by its perception. But these are all called knowledge acquiring senses. They give us some information, but realization, if we employ, engage all the senses in the service of the master of the senses, that is called bhakti. Bhakti means sarvapadhir vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. Give up all mental conceptions of what bhakti is. Give up all this. No, you have to give up all the material conception, but then in that you will become free, you will be pure. So in that state, engage all your senses in the service of the master of the senses. And Rishikena Rishikesham Sevanam Bhakti Vichate. Rishik is the senses. Rishikesh is the master, the one who controls the senses. One who can control his senses is called master of the senses. It's called Goswami. Krishna is controlling everyone's senses. Because through those senses, the soul becomes cognizant, aware of his surroundings, but he can also become aware of his own reality. The body itself is unreal as far as it does not perceive. It is temporary, and you can't call any temporary thing as real. Can you? Can you call temporary things as real? But you cannot deny that either. It is there, but for some time. So the idea is that for real there is no cessation. And for the unreal, it cannot endure. So on that premises we have to charge it. The soul is eternal, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And therefore we get qualification to understand. Understanding is one thing. It's primary thing. Understanding is required. And that understanding can come by reading. Padaneki had a samajha hai. If you read, you will understand. Okay? But further than understanding is the realization. If you employ your understanding in your activity, then you will realize. Means the reality will be exposed to you. The samajh ki had hai jnan. Jnan means realization. Jnan means knowledge. But that knowledge doesn't mean accumulation of information is for knowledge. Or the computer is knowledgeable, or it is simply storing the information. Computer is not conscious of this. It can store many gigabytes of information only. So, if you store so many information, will it make you gani? पढ़ने की हद समझ है, समझ की हद है ज्ञान, ज्ञान की हद हरिनाम है. The culmination of all the realization is chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram.
become Krishna. Therefore, we should try to understand, because the holy name is transcendental. And all the transcendental potencies of the personality which belongs or who belongs this name, it's two identical things. The name and the person possesses the name, they are non-different. They are at par. That is the transcendental nature. Oh, we and our names are different. But somehow or other, in relationship to Krishna, our names are different. Even in Christianity, the biblical names are there. Even in Islam, the Islamic names are there. And relation to the Supreme is there. Even atheism, Buddha, they have 99 names of Buddha too. Why they are chanting the holy name? Because it's the culmination of the realization. Means Supreme Absolute Truth must be hiding in it, and if we serve that holy name, then it must reveal to us. Because we can't see it through blunt senses, can't realize the blunt senses. That is what Kunti says. So therefore, when Krishna comes and plays different roles in different avatars, you know, it should not be astonishing. People are astonished. But their quality is not matching with the quality of such activity. Even though they have potentials, they are part and parcel of the Supreme. So the potency is there. Only thing is that we have to become purified to come on that level of transcendence, to understand the transcendental absolute truth. It's not temporary. It is eternal. In the human form of life, we can take to such an extent. So those who decry avajananti mama mudha mudha, what are those fools? That's less intelligent people decry me when I appear in the human life form. They think I'm one of them. Not know my transcendental nature at Mahamevya Paramam Avyayam. And this transcendental nature is a supreme and inexhaustible. It cannot be destroyed. However, people are trying to manufacture God or they are trying to destroy God. Both these actions are same and foolish. So, it's a transcendental reality to be exposed. So, when Kunti accepts this deficiency of conditioned soul, and more the bodily conception is that this deficiency becomes more and more evident. Then she says, okay, forget the foolish. Let's see those who are trying to know him. And who are they? Tatha paramhamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartham katham pashyamehi priyam. Now she is addressing her energies. She is the most intelligent and she is glorifying Lord Krishna in the absolute way. But she is exposing our religion by taking herself to be an ordinary person. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists, yoginam, muninam, and the mental speculators
who are purified by being able to discriminate between mental and spirit, how then can we women know you perfectly? So Prabhupada says that even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead is beyond the range of thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknown by great learning or by great brain. He is knowable only by one who has His mercy. Others may go on thinking about Him for years together, yet He is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by Queen Kunti, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that He does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great numbers in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of the religion, it appears that the women are more interested than men. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showing insincere religious fervor. So therefore, it is not astonishing. Of course, I can understand 50-50 here. So, consolation. But the idea is that you will see more hyperactivity, more rajogun, and tamas is embedded in them. More egoistic nature is also found. But on the other behalf, because of the complementary nature, Krishna says that teja kshama dhruti, teja means the brilliance, kshama means pardoning, and dhruti means admiration. They are my virtues in them. So, you can see in the life of Kunti, she got educated at her maternal uncle's place, who adopted her. And he was living in Kandahar, Kabul. So, even though she is the sister of Vasudev, yet she was raised in that region, and Kunti also served in her childhood Durvasamu so meticulously with all her sanskaras and training that Durvasamuni benedicted her 6 grooms to invoke any demigod, in the time of need. And this secret Pandu knew. And Pandu was cursed similarly. But being a very young woman, she tried out with calling up sun god, and Karna was born, and she had to, she was ashamed. But Sankara promised that you will still worship. So these conceptions are inaccurate conceptions, and they have been described that it does not require a bodily union to beget a child. Otherwise, how is it possible for Brahma to beget
even though he was the first living entity. Chatush Kumar, they are called his Manas Putra. Narada is also coming. All the Sakta Rishis, they are his Manas Putra. And they are all Prajapatis in different ways. When Manu Maharaj was produced, his daughters were married to the great Rishis who brought up the dynasty of the Kula, Gotras and Kula. Like that. But that is pretty important in the relationship to carry on the legacy of what Brahma is. Brahma was the Adi Prajapati to populate the world. So, human being in that relationship has to take up the responsibility to allow the living entities in the material world to exist in the bodily form of according to their karma and desire. So, because the Lord has provided this facility, subservient to the desire of the Lord. Prajapatis are subservient to the desire of the Lord. But they have to be ideal. People cannot be get just like cats and dogs of no purpose because it's an irresponsible act. So, these instructions are very carefully written down in Srimad Bhagavatam and they become the pivot of real performance of other religious duties. But the ultimate aim is to know Him, to go to Him. So, Vindhundi is trying to pinpoint the personality of Lord Krishna to be transcendental to our material conception, and therefore she addresses him. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya. And this is the aunt. She is glorifying her nephew. Transcendent. Do you think she is crazy? An aunt is glorifying her nephew. But all her glorification is based on the transcendent. Transcendence, divine, the divinity of a soul and divinity of the Supreme Lord are qualitatively same. Only quantitative difference is there. Unless and until we are linked with the Lord in divine nature, then and then we can pass on the mercy of the Lord. Otherwise not. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisance unto the Lord who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, and the boy of Nanda, and other cowherd maid of Vrindavan, and the enliver of the cows and the senses. It's a beautiful purpose. The Lord being thus unapproachable by any material except out of unbounded and causeless mercy descends on the earth as He is ordered to show His special mercy upon His unalloyed devotees and to diminish the absurdities of the demoniac persons.
when Kunti specifically arose the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation he is more approachable. In Rama incarnation he remained a king's son from the very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was the son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudev and Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Yashoda Mai to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Vajbhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastime. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Rama. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudev and his family. Had he not become the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate because they could relish Lord Krishna's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited in Vrajbhumi, which are more prototypes of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka described as Chintamani Dham in Brahma Samhita. Lord Shri Krishna descended himself in Vrajbhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is fortunate as the resident of Vrajbhumi, and especially the cowherd girls who dedicated their very things, everything for the satisfaction of Lord. His pastimes with Yandana Yashoda and his pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to brahmanas and cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely the Brahminical culture and the cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where there are these are lacking. Her vision about the beauty of the body of Lord Krishna, which is transcendental. How she is comparing? Namaha pankajanabhaya, namaha pankajangra malini, namaha pankajanetraya, namaste pankajangre. My respectful obeisance unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with the depression like lotus flowers, who are always decorated with the garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with the lotuses. Here are some of the specific symbolic marks on the spiritual body of the Personality of Godhead, which distinguish his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific body features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras and laborer class and the Dvijabandhus, all the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc. of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see Him as the Acharigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to all the souls, including the above-mentioned women, Shudras and Vijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond the matter, the Lord condenses to enter into each and every one of as the innumerable divinities, as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who
who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen, and thus Lord Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, Lord is known as Pankajanabhi. Pankajanabhi, Lord accepts Archa Vigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely from within the mind, a form made up of wood, a form made up of earth, a form made up of metal, a form made up of jewel, a form made up of paint, a form drawn on the sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees who always engage in the material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women Shudras and Vijayabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of the worship in different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of Shudras or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, actually rising the thighs, waist and chest and the face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus Kunti Devi, just to save the painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above the lotus feet, that is from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything is there in the all. So Prabhupada said, how to see the Lord? If we are less intelligent and have not perceived the transcendental nature, the santas, means the purified people, always see the Lord in the transcendental realm. How it is explained in Brahma Samhita, that premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santah sadeva radeshu vilote yam shyama sundaram achintya purusha govindamadi purusha. Brahma says this. Brahma says that I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who has a transcendental form, and that is being seen through the eyes in the heart, which have been tainted by the salve of love. You can't see the Lord's form with your charma chakshu, eyes made up of skin. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochane. In your devotion, if there is no element of love to the Supreme, you will not be even making an attempt to see. But while performing devotional service, which is loving service, you voluntarily do as described to the form of the Lord, because you are unable to see the transcendental form. Therefore, the Lord is incarnating himself into Archa Vigraha, not idols, but where you have to feel the exchange. In Ayurveda, there are 13 names differently addressing according to the functions of the body. The body has 13 different names. Deha. Deha is one. But Chiya, Devi Deva, the definition is given that the one that is capable to have metabolic process. Sharira, Chiyate, Jeevyate, Sharira. One that grows and dwindles. That is called Sharira. Vashma. Vashma means one is capable to produce a life from one body to another. It's called Vashma. So in that sense, Tamu means the product of the body, which is looking like it's called Tamu. In this way, Vigraha is also a way where sentient feelings of our heart can be conveyed to the deity, and the deity reciprocates in the degree of our love. Because after all, the deity can be made up of stone, earth, sand, painting, so many things. But they cannot be whimsical. But according to the description of the Lord, which is transcendental depiction, it is not a fanciful creation of an artist. Right? So, Archa Vigraha, where you employ the transcendental process of invoking the Holy Name, at the same time, there is a methodology of Pancharatra and applied. So, the bodily conception will be gone when we worship this way. And we'll be able to realize the Paramatma first, the Super Soul. Because Super Soul is the omnipresent expansion of the Supreme Personality of God. He does not leave His place, but He can expand. And because He is the binding force for even creation that can be sustained for some time, when He wishes, everything can be situated. So, creation, sustenance and dissolution is His jurisdiction directly. And the creative energy is called Sadhana Shakti. That is Durga. So, Lord Brahma says that unless and until one has anointed his eyes of transcendental nature, which are the souls, when he is purified with tinge, the salve of love, then he says, Sadeva Radeja, which particular form? Yam Shyama Sundaram Achindya Gunaswarupam. This Achindya Gunaswarupam, transcendental qualitative form. This form has Sat Chit Ananda qualities. They are transcendental qualities. And a devotee, by the practice, cultivates the transcendence within him. So therefore his vision becomes universally applicable. This transcendental form is inconceivable. Means not by material intelligence it can be understood. We have to practice a transcendental process. Transcendental process in this age of Kali is chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, 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 and no other else is a better or equivalent way as confirmed by Brahma to Narada Muni in Yajurveda, Parisankarani Upanishad. So, this can be verified by practice.
practice pratyaksha avagaman dharmyam sukham kartamate. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. And it could be in the same line, you know, he's trying to advise us. So if we want to see the Lord's fall, then we need to have first and necessary eyes to see. How to see? By the process of devotion. And let it mature. It's not a wishful thing. We have to be trained. But the training starts from chanting the name. So the idea is that what Vaikunthi is telling is very, very important. And how her vision is growing into the vision of all beauties, which is lotus. Lotus is very beautiful. Namaha Pankajanabha. Pankajanabha. Krishna's depression of the belly button is like a lotus. Namaha Pankajamalini. He wears the garland of lotus. Namaha Pankajanetraya. His eyes are lotus. Namaha Pankajandre. His thighs are lotus. Shaped. Very strong, pleasing to see. No ugliness. Is Krishna all attractive? Supreme Absolute Truth. So therefore, everything is glorified if we offer it. Therefore, we decorate in the temple. We have to do. We have to learn how to do. This is Bhakti Yoga, and we must try to help ourselves to advance in performance of Bhakti. It is not sentimental, because it is supported by transcendence and philosophical chapter. Religion without philosophy is sentiment. We knew, generally women do not prefer to talk on philosophy. They are more sentimentalists. Is it not? Get me? No, I mean, but you have good qualities too. But because it's a better heart, means it's very complimentary. We have to understand and we have to control that heart. So, you have to be beautiful. But when Kunti is appreciating transcendental beauty. So we must know transcendental. It's not impossible. So, how to see the Lord? We are advised that we should start even seeing a Charvitra from the lotus feet. From the lotus feet. Then gradually go up to waves, eyes, like that. Don't jump on the face of the Lord. Go gradually. Check your vision. So the idea is that it's a very systematic approach. There is no sentiment. These are sensitive issues in spiritual life, because they are well guided by philosophy. Otherwise, it will become a sahajiya movement. Sahajiya means sentimentalism. Srimad Bhagavatam does not create sentimentalism.
It is a solid philosophical treatise written by Srila Vyasadeva on the first Vedanta Sutra. Janmadhya says, therefore it starts from there. And it is expanded in 18,000 verses. Not an ordinary thing. And Srila Prabhupada had a momentous time. He wanted to explain for Bhaktivedanta in other states. So, translation, how to understand, how it can be more practical in simple language, how we can practice. Beautiful guideline in terms of devotion. And you can take full advantage of it. Bhakti is not a sentimental thing. It's the most serious thing. So I have put up in the three divisions of these prayers of Queen Kunti. This is the initial aspect, how she approaches and she sees her nephew. But this is not an ordinary nephew, it is the transcendental absolute truth. So she is very careful. She wouldn't tell anything about Krishna which is going to put him in question. She will spell out everything. In the next two verses, coming verses, she is exposing more of our prejudices and seeing what are the impediments in our sitting. So, if anybody wants to come tomorrow morning, what time? I'll come at 6:30. I can have a good time to go to the work. And tomorrow evening is also a class, so we can continue with Kunti's prayers. Anybody has any question? Meanwhile, they offer. Bhakti is very heavy. And it is sin. You can pour your heart in Bhakti. But don't pour outside, then it will be wasted. You have to put right on the target, and the target is not visible. Krishna is not visible to our blind eye. That he is there. So where would you put for your love?
is reciprocating with everyone. According to our desire, he reciprocates. We wanted to forget him and he allowed us. He created such thing that we will forget. But somehow or other, it's too difficult to forget him. It's not easy. He will make us forget. For him, it is not impossible. We, on our own volition, we cannot forget. If we wanted to forget him, do you think we would have assembled? But the thing is that he is fulfilling our desires. He provides the opportunity. He facilitates. Because when we came, we did not make the provision for ourselves, for our sustenance. It was provided by him, isn't it? He knew well before what we will need. Very important. Why he is doing it? And how much patience he has if he is doing so. Can you imagine? He is waiting. He is calling. Amikam Naram Raja. That surrender to me at Arvind. Is it impossible for him that what he is doing? Are we too difficult cases for him? But he doesn't want to force us. That is the one thing. Like Arjuna, he could have forced Arjuna to fight. Otherwise, why he's taking so much time to explain him? The war was supposed to be beginning. The conscience were already gone from both the sides. It was only a matter of who should first. Right? But yet, Bhagavad-gita was spoken. And nobody knew except, Dhritarashtra knew. With the help of Sanjay. The blind man knew what was going to happen there. And Sanjay was a disciple of Vyasadeva. Therefore, he had a transcendental vision. He could see what is happening in the field of Kurukshetra with the eyes of transcendence. But yet, Dhritarashtra was blind, even though he knew he was wrong, yet he wanted to get stuck with his desire in favor of his son's home. The idea is that what we have to understand. That if Krishna wanted to force us, he would have done so. But he is not doing. Neither he did to Arjuna. Because love is voluntary. It's out of love that Krishna took time to speak about the absolute truth, like Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the set of the world. Not after the world. Out of love. Love and compassion has to be
found there. So, Krishna's love and compassion will reflect on us in devotion and will become lovable to everyone. Devotees must reflect this love and compassion for all of us.
Yeah.
Jai 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 Jai